Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Invex Therapeutics Regulatory Update conference call. All participants are in the listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to turn the conference over to Dr. Jason Loveridge. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator, and thanks everyone for joining us today. We appreciate your patience with the slight delay, and welcome to this morning's call. My name is Jason Loveridge, and I'm the Chairman of Invex Therapeutics. Today, I'll be summarizing the scientific advice we have recently received from both the European Medicines Agency, the EMA, and the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, FDA's Division of Ophthalmology, with respect to our novel reformulation of exenatide, an already approved medication, which Invex is developing for the treatment of idiopathic intracranial hypertension, or IIH. I would like to start with some brief background, which I hope will be helpful, provide some context for listeners who may not be familiar with this type of regulatory interaction. Invex benefits from having obtained orphan drug designation for the use of exenatide in IIH patients in both the U.S. and in Europe. This designation provides some unique advantages to Invex in developing its drug candidate, Presendin, which includes the ability to seek early and extensive guidance from regulators on how best to develop our drug, thereby reducing the risk and costs of bringing our drug candidate to market. And once on market, our orphan designation also provides up to 10 years exclusive market access. This advantage of going very early in development to consult regulators in both the U.S. and Europe is that it provides an opportunity to learn and modify our approach going forward, and thus avoid costly mistakes or the pursuit of invalidated approaches. It also helps identify differences in opinion between regulators which govern access to different markets and which may not share necessarily the same view. And it also provides us with an opportunity to educate and persuade both regulators based on our understanding of our drug and our target indication. So it's important to understand that this is not a one-time event. This advice we've received to date is not fixed in stone, and we have the ability to and will go back as we proceed in development, as we obtain more data and use this mechanism to work with the regulators and optimize our development pathway by asking progressively more specific questions. Invex has taken the opportunity inherent in its orphan drug designation to submit a summary of its initial development plan independently to each of EMA and FDA, along with a series of questions to which we were looking for the regulator's opinion, and the advice we received has been summarized in the announcement we published earlier this morning. It's also key to understand that this is the first time that both regulators will have seen anything on either Presendin or Invex's plans, and so the information we provided to date could be described as relatively top level and our questions essentially broad or in principle in nature. The scientific advice received by the company and as summarized in today's announcement broadly endorsed the company's approach regarding its preclinical plans as well as its first-in-human pharmacokinetic study. This is very helpful to us and an excellent outcome for Invex as we can now move forward with confidence with our planned near-term studies and maintain the guidance we have already provided to investors in this respect. With regard to the later stage, phase 3 clinical development, both EMA and FDA provided helpful clarification on the company's proposed endpoints for our registration study design, and in the case of EMA, we received endorsement for some key elements of our proposed registration study. That 6 months would be an acceptable period for the study length, that a reduction in intracranial pressure would be an objective primary outcome measure of clinical efficacy, that a subset of our proposed clinical endpoints, such as headache, would be clinically meaningful in IIH, and finally, that placebo would constitute an appropriate comparator arm in a registration study. EMA also confirmed its requirement that positive data in a single phase 3 pivotal study evaluating Presendin in IH would be adequate for filing of a market authorization application. This clear feedback from EMA on a registration pathway for Europe therefore leaves us with a well-defined route to market in the EU, and if we obtain positive data in our phase 3 study, access to the majority of our market opportunity in IH. With respect to the US and the FDA, our application for protocol assistance was referred to the FDA's Division of Ophthalmology, who acknowledged that at this stage, it could only provide preliminary feedback on our proposed pivotal phase 3 trial, as we had not submitted a complete protocol or statistical plan, and added that if the primary endpoint was parametric mean deviation, a vision endpoint, they would expect to see a clinically meaningful change in visual function in two adequate and well-controlled studies in IIH in order to support a new drug application for Presendin, that a reduction in monthly headaches, days of moderate to severe headaches, is a clinically meaningful endpoint, as is the reduction in the use of acute headache medication, and that should we elect to not pursue a vision-based endpoint as primary in our phase 3 study, then the Division of Ophthalmology would recommend Invex contact the Office of Neurology for further protocol advice. So to wrap up, this first initial advice has provided the company with both invaluable advice to guide our development thinking as well as the opportunity to introduce Presendin and our plans for development in IH to both FDA and EMA. Importantly, Invex is well funded with pro forma cash and cash equivalents of $36.6 million, and as a result of this advice process, has in place a well-defined regulatory pathway for Europe. As soon as we secure GMP-grade Presendin manufacturing capacity and produce final drug product, we will move forward to conduct the animal and pharmacokinetic work as endorsed by the regulators, as well as the planning for a registration directed trial to start in the first half of calendar year 2021, as previously announced to the market. In this respect, and in parallel with the activities I've just outlined, the company will now take some time to consult with its regulatory advisors and its clinical advisory board and consider in more depth the helpful early guidance it's received from EMA and the FDA before deciding on how best to proceed with its clinical program for registration in the EU, US, and Australia. With that, I'll conclude my part of this, and operator, please open the call to questions.
Thank you. At this time, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star then 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star then 2. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Our first question comes from Elyse Shapiro of Bell Potter. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking the question. Can the EMA trial then suffice as one of the U.S. phase 3 trials that was requested?
Yes, it could.
Is that a pathway that you're planning to take, or do you think you might have to run three trials?
At the moment, we're still deciding on what the right pathway is, and I think, as you would expect, we've only had this feedback for a short period, and we need to consult with our advisors and clinical advisory board, but I would think quite strongly that three trials would not be required, and that we will be thinking of a strategy that would allow one or at most two for the United States.
Great, thanks. And is there, with the FDA requesting those two adequate and well-controlled studies, I think the press release said, is there a way to structure that phase 3 program so that you can get approval both in IIH and that second indication, IIHWOP, within that one clinical program?
Yes, that's an option that we'll certainly consider, and it'll be part of the thinking with respect to the future clinical studies.
Great. Thanks for taking the questions.
Thanks, Elise.
A reminder to ask a question, please press star then one. Dr. Loveridge, we'll pause to see if there are any further questions. To ask a question, please press star then one. There are no further questions at this time. Would you like to make some closing comments?
I think at this point, not particularly. I think it's quite clear, and I think we'll end the call there. Thank you.
Thank you. That concludes today's call. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.